Would you be willing to share some of your personal journey, including some description of your life before you became a monk, why you chose to become a monk, with the intention of shedding light on how the holy life can help people grow and change? Thank you. I have a very short life history. I grew up in a podunk little town in northern Canada. Got out of there as soon as I could. I became interested in Buddhism in university, late 60s. But that was in... I grew up in the province of Manitoba. The town that I grew up in is like 600 miles north of the American border. And there wasn't much Buddhism happening up there. It still isn't. But then went to university in Winnipeg, which is, you know, it's a nice city, but it's small Midwestern Canada. And I didn't come into contact with any kind of teachers, teachings. But I had an interest and sort of tracked down as many books as I could on Buddhism. And then after finishing university and working long enough to get some money, then I headed off traveling, as many people did in those days, and traveled through Europe and the Middle East, India, and then was just passing through Thailand. I had a vague idea that I would go to Japan to sort of study Buddhism, because in those days the majority of books that you could get on Buddhism were about Zen. But then I arrived in Thailand and there's all these monasteries around. There was it looked like it was a Buddhist culture. I was really fascinated. So I stayed on and I went to a few different monasteries, practiced here, practiced there. My introduction to meditation was a solitary 1 month Mahasi Sayadaw retreat. That was how I started to learn to meditate. And I loved it. How do I do more of this? And, you know, it was a bit difficult, but it was sort of because they tell you to just meditate 20 hours a day and sleep 4. And when I was given the instructions, it was like 4 hours. I mean, that can't be real. So I may just sort of disregarded that. And I... it just didn't sink in. It wasn't a part of reality. But I was meditating really diligently as much as I could. Having some very interesting states. And then there was a bit of a plateau, I don't know, after about 10 days or 2 weeks or something. And then after a couple of days, then the teacher asked, "How much are you sleeping?" He said, "Maybe 6-7 hours a night." No, I thought that was pretty good. Because I could see my sleep dropping, it was like, and he just chewed me out. So you've been, you know, it's like, you slacker. You know, you've been cheating, and you've, so you built up all this sort of sleep. Go back 2 hours a night. That's all you can have. Just get and meditate. You know. And so, oh, okay. So I was able to, you know, so I had lots of, you know, very interesting experiences with that meditation. And then, as I mentioned before, I said, I went to another monastery and was staying there and take a temporary ordination. It was a city monastery on the outskirts of Bangkok. And that's where I started hearing about forest tradition, Ajahn Chah. And then that sounded really attractive to me. And then I went up to, after I'd been a monk for about, well, I'd only been a monk for about a month. And I asked my teacher, could I go up and pay respects to Ajahn Chah and visit any? And he said, oh yeah, I've heard about him. He's a very good monk. And so I went up there and went into what Ajahn Chah's monastery is. Early morning, and you see the monks coming back from alms round. It was sort of winter mist in the fields. It was very ethereal. Came in as everything sort of quiet and composed, this forest, and got the opportunity to pay respects to Ajahn Chah. And so I bowed, and he finished by bowing. And he looked at me and he said, if you want to stay here, you have to stay at least 5 years. I said, well, I guess it's not for me. So I stayed for a while, and then I went off to another monastery that was very quiet, putting a lot of effort into practice. And it was again, meditation was going very good. I was very diligent in practice, and sort of the months were starting to go by, and I just kept thinking of Ajahn Chah all the time. And I said, well, 5 years is 5 years. I'll go back and give myself to Ajahn Chah. So that's 35 years ago. there. Now that in terms of how the holy life can help people grow and change, you know, especially after being in the robes for such a long time, been in monasteries where people come and train or people come and go. One of the things that is really clear to me is that there's no such thing as sort of the ideal monastic or the ideal practitioner. And there's that I've seen so many different types of people come, and some people stay and some people go, and you know, some people are absolutely inspired and seem so sort of composed and knowledgeable and clear, and then, you know, then they disappear in the middle of the night and they're gone. Or other people come and sort of, you know, problem after problem, difficulty after difficulty, and they stick at it and they change. And that's one of the things that that I just that is consistent. If somebody stays with it, and a change takes place, people really do grow and change.